Today we'll begin chapter 14, three modes of material nature. So this is the last section, right? 13 to chapter 18, mostly covering jnana. So chapter 13 we talked about, this is nature, enjoyer and consciousness. So the Prabhu studied a little bit and he made notes of the sections and the themes. Don't know whether we discussed like that, so now we can do it as an overview of the last chapter. Yeah. So 1 to 7 verses talks about, 13 chapter this is, 1 to 7 verses we discuss the questions which Arjuna asks, right? Like there are 8 questions he asks, who is a Kshetra, who is a Kshetraknya, who is a knower, who is an enjoyer, these are the 8 questions, you should know the questions and the answers. So 8 to 12 verses, yeah, the wise questions by Arjuna. Questions by Arjuna, 8 to 12 it discusses the items of knowledge, Kshetraknya. Kshetra, Kshetraknya and Jnanam. Then 13 to 19 about soul and super soul, object of knowledge, Jnanam, object of knowledge it discusses. 13 to 19 about soul and super soul, and 20 to 35 about the enjoyer, Purusha, Prakriti and Purusha. So then the leading point towards this chapter is basically we discussed soul tries to enjoy this material world and gets entangled. That's what we discussed, right? Because of his enjoyment with this material mode and association modes of material nature. So that's why in this chapter Krishna is now talking about detail about three modes of material nature and how one can transcend beyond these three modes. How one can raise above the effect of these three modes. That's the connection, no? This is all leading to liberation basically. So, chapter 14, first 1 to 9 verses talks about three modes and how it affects our character, behavior and approach in life. Yeah, it's of course, you know, rest of it he gives more details about how death is in three modes and other things, but 1 to 9, actually it's 11, Yeah, 1 to 9 are like, you know, preliminary overview of the three modes of material nature. Okay. So, chapter 14, so we'll discuss few verses today. Again, Krishna is talking, so let's see what he's saying. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Manuvacha Parambhuya Pravakshyami Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam Yajnyatva Munaya Sarve Param Siddhim Itogata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, again, I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection. So again, here is saying, this is the best of all knowledge. So one may be confused, like, you know, because we discussed the middle 6 chapter as the best knowledge and most confidential chapter, knowledge is there, chapter 9. So this is the best of all knowledge about Prakriti and Jiva, not about devotional service. Devotional service, best knowledge is in chapter 9, we discussed already. But this is the best of all knowledge about Prakriti and Jiva, how they associate with each other, how they affect each other. Like how Prakriti affects Jiva. You know, to know the details, how Jiva is entangled, everything, the detailed knowledge is given in this chapter. Okay, so that's what Prabhupada quotes, Baladeva Vidyabhushana, he makes that comment about it. Okay, so we'll read like few lines in the purport down, then lines down. Now in this chapter, Supreme Personality explains
what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind and how they give liberation. The knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be the superior, to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attained perfection and transferred into the spiritual world. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way. This knowledge is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge thus far explained, and knowing this, many attain perfection. Thus, it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection.
Yeah, so basically, when we know how we got entangled, we will know how to get out. Like, you know, what mistakes we made to, like, get trapped. Then we know what to not to do. So that's why, you know, this talks about all the details of how we get entangled. So that will eventually lead to perfection or liberation. Text number 2. Idam jnanam upashritya mama shadharmyam agata sarge apino pajayante pralayena vyatyanti cha. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. The same thing again Krishna is repeating, that one who attains this knowledge will attain his abode, and actually qualitative nature, transcendental nature like his own, due to which they actually go to the spiritual world. That's why many times he says, Janma karma cha me divyam, one who knows about my birth and activities will attain my supreme abode, right? This same similar point. So he becomes, so in this purport, Srila Prabhupada focuses on the point about attain like my own, right? So somebody may confuse that, you know, we merge into Krishna. That's the way the people interpret. So Prabhupada focuses on this purport about that we, even in spiritual liberation stage, one maintains individuality. It's, we are always individual. We discuss in second chapter, right? Never was the time Krishna says that all these kings and you and I were not exist. They are existing now and they will exist in future. That means they are always separate.
So Mataji, one quick question on the earlier paragraph. Why is it said that this knowledge is proclaimed by the superior, or to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters? Why is this considered?
Yeah, that's what... So far in other chapters, that's what the comment we discussed. Not about, I don't know whether it means all other chapters in Bhagavad Gita, but with respect to jnana. Yeah, other chapters with respect to jnana. That means in this last section, 13 to 18. Because the middle section is about bhakti.
Right.
So this is not superseding that knowledge about bhakti.
Okay.
We discussed that, right? So this is giving detailed knowledge about how prakriti and soul are interrelated. That knowledge so far is not given. Okay, so here, so he focuses on the individuality. That's what we discussed. So, okay, let's read last few lines of the last paragraph. It's in the middle of the line, but actually in the spiritual sky, one attains a spiritual form.
Yeah, but actually in the spiritual sky, one attains a spiritual form. There are spiritual activities and the spiritual situation is called devotional life. That atmosphere is said to be uncontaminated and there one is equal in quality with the Supreme Lord. To obtain such knowledge, one must develop all the spiritual qualities. One who thus develops the spiritual qualities is not affected either by the creation or by the destruction of the material world.
So here the connection is that Krishna, Prabhupada purport is, one point is noted is, so with this transcendental knowledge, when we apply the transcendental knowledge, we get realization. When both of them happen, then we get spiritual qualities. That's the connection. That's the last section Prabhupada is saying. To obtain such knowledge, one has to develop all spiritual qualities. So this knowledge, somebody was saying, right, like usually that Sangeeta Madhuri always says, of course she's saying only me, that's why she's talking about me, but there are many more well-versed people. But she keeps telling, you know, how can you correlate with different things, or how will you remember all those things, right? So that when we develop in our devotional service, this knowledge will be revealed to us, and automatically spiritual qualities will be manifesting. Hopefully they're manifesting. So one who thus develops the spiritual qualities, then that means they're acting transcendentally. They're not affected by creation or by destruction of the material world. So when anything tragic happens in the material world, they are not so disturbed so much, actually. So this brings up important controversial topic, you know. Does that mean devotees are callous? Callous in the hard-hearted towards what's happening in the world? Or, you know, they are not sensitive? No, they don't have compassion. There is one incident. This brings up the same topic about Srila Prabhupada actually. So once Srila Prabhupada is going in the van or car, whatever, one vehicle with all his disciples, some of his disciples somewhere, and on the road there was a major accident. Then all the disciples were looking there and focused, like, oh, this happened, that happened. They were like this. Prabhupada was just chanting and said, okay, just move, continue, go on. So that incident, they were showing that, you know, he is actually, he knows exactly why it happened. Like the soul had to get some reaction. Spiritually, what does it mean? He knows all that. And he's thinking about spiritual welfare actually. It doesn't mean he's not compassionate. He's really working for the welfare of the souls of everybody. Right? He's not really concerned about the body, what it goes through. And he knows why that soul is suffering is because of reactions he's getting. He knows all that. So it doesn't mean he is callous and like, you know, I just... See, callous comes only when somebody cares about their own personal interest. Right? When that comes, selfish interest comes, then we can think it's callous. But this is detached actually. It's not callous, it's detached. It's transcendently situated and detached. Otherwise, what will happen is, in involving in their sorrow, we get drowned. If somebody is not... Like, I think you remember your incident, right? When your close cousin passed away, you can share in your realization about that. Like, you know how Sau Prabhu was able to, because he was detached.
Yeah, so he was, so basically I was getting stuck in the same loop that, oh my God, this is my cousin, she was born on the same day as me. Now she's no more, so what's, like, someday I'm also going to do this. Poor parents, what are they going, poor brothers, what are, so I was like, come on, you know. You just go to the Bhagavad Gita class, you know that it's not the body, it's the soul. Focus, you know, you'll be alright. It's like, okay, it's like somebody doing this knock and then you remember that. It's like, okay.
Yeah. So even as Prabhu shared about the recent incident, right? He shared, right? Yeah. So even in that, right, the different people, based on their transcendental knowledge, they react differently. Even among all our devotees also, they knew how we would have behaved different. But even their family members or relatives, this memorial service happened. Everybody shared different things. So it seems there is one person who is their guide and guru. So he spoke. And when he spoke, he was so such a positive. He said, actually, she's on the way to Paramatma. There is nothing to worry. Actually, we are, you know, she is the one who caught the bus earlier and we are waiting behind. We are the losers. No, so, see, imagine his viewpoint when compared to all others who may be thinking, oh, I'm missing, or, you know, who will take care of his small kids, all those things, you know, that point of view versus Lee seeing the connection with the Lord and what, you know, seeing that vision of where she's heading, you know, that completely changes their, you know, attitude towards things. So we have to cultivate this knowledge, you know, it's, we don't have it. It's very difficult when near one passes away, dear one, you know, how will we react? The only thing is, the test is, of, okay, another incident related to this is that one scholar, he asked Prabhupada challenging question. Like, you know, Arjuna knows the philosophy. Second chapter in Bhagavad Gita itself, he knows we are not the body, we are the soul. He knows. Then why in the battle of, after hearing all Bhagavad Gita, when he had the battle of Kurukshetra, why in that battlefield, when his son passed away, he cried? Why? Where is it realization? Where is his realization? That's a very fantastic question, yeah. Actually. So then Prabhupada said, it's natural for a father to feel for the son. And actually, and the Radhanath Maharaj clarified, his feeling is not because of bodily relation, it's because of the missing the soul in the form of his, there is a connection with the soul in the form of his son, there is an exchange which the Lord has arranged, and because of missing that loving feelings, there is separation, basically separation from the soul, separation from Krishna. In that way, there is some pain, but the test, you know, the proof that he was transcendental, is shown by the very fact that he never deterred his duty after that point. He continued fighting on the order of Krishna. So that's a proof. So it doesn't mean incident happen, we feel bad. It doesn't mean we don't feel bad, we don't feel compassion, we don't cry, we don't pray. All this we do. But the thing is, are we steadfast in our duties, or is it going to give us like, oh, even if I do all this, one day I'm also going to go, what's the point in chanting, what's the point, like that, you know, in a mode of ignorance way. Is it directing us that way, or is it going to give us, okay, at least I have this knowledge, I know now, I can see in front of my eyes some people are going away, so I'm also going to go away, so let me at least apply properly. So it's like a wake up call for all of us, you know, it's just next door, somebody can happen, right, you know, everybody can get it. So, you know, let me become serious now. If that realization comes, that's good. It's yoga maya actually. But if he says, you know, what's the point in this philosophy like that, then it's mahamaya.
Just small incident, right? Just story ties in with what one of the Swamiji's who came to our temple, he said, this is how we began the story. So, you know, there is a worker who's there, and there's a supervisor sitting on the top floor. He wants to attract the worker's attention. So he drops a dollar. So he picks up the dollar and he's looking for more dollars. He drops one more dollar, he's picking up that dollar. And nothing is working. So he takes a stone and he puts it on his helmet. It gets poof. Oh, he's there. So it's like that. So those are our small incidents that are there.
It's a good point. Yeah.
To look up.
Yeah.
And so that's how we have to look at it. So
yeah.
Just tying in thought.
Very nice. Yeah. Yeah. That time only people remember usually, right? See, the husband was sharing. You know, we did everything possible medically. We did everything possible spiritually. But she always fell into a corner case where it doesn't work. Like, you know, breast cancer. Usually, 99% people it will work. But 1% people it doesn't work, she went. And some medication for liver cancer, most of the people it works. Only 1% people doesn't work and she fell into that. So we can see the unchangeable will of the providence, right? It's acting so firmly, like, you know, then we can understand actually we cannot do anything. Doctors also gave up at last point saying, you know, we cannot do anything. It's beyond our control. If anything has to happen, spiritually something has to happen. Anyway, everybody prayed, but it had to happen like that. So... Yeah, sometimes then we realize that time he said actually, Perumal has a different plan for her. He said, you know, that's what conclusion we have to come to. After trying all this, you know, then while trying also we should find out, you know, I'm just trying, whatever is will, your will, let it happen. And when it happens, we should be able to accept that. It's very hard. Yeah, text number 3. मम योनिर् महत् ब्रह्मा तस्मिन् गर्भं ददामि अहम् संभवा सर्वभूतानां ततो भवति भारत. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, O son of Bharata. We see here it's talking about Brahman. That's why I discussed right earlier the three meanings of Brahman. One is the soul. One is the material nature, other one is super soul also. Parabrahma. Parabrahma is super soul. Individual soul is also called Brahman. And material nature, here it's referring to material nature, which is also called Mahat Brahman. We discussed in the purport. So here, the total material substance, Mahat Tattva, or called Mahat Brahma or Mahat Brahman, is the source of birth of, and that is that Brahman I impregnate. So Krishna glances and impregnates the Brahman with the living entities and time energy, making possible the birth of all living beings, O son of Bharata. So he's clearly saying, this souls, I have injected the souls into the material nature. Material nature didn't create on their own. So there's a very nice last paragraph if you read. Prabhupada is relating to analogy of the scorpion. Many of you might have heard this earlier. The scorpion lays its eggs. Hmm.
The scorpion lays its eggs in piles of rice. And sometimes it's said that the scorpion is born out of rice. But the rice is not the cause of the scorpion. Actually, the eggs were laid by the mother. Similarly, material nature is not the cause of the birth of the living entities. The seed is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they only seem to come out as products of material nature. Thus, every living entity, according to its past activities, has a different body created by this material nature, so that the entity can enjoy or suffer according to its past deeds. The Lord is the cause of all the manifestations of living entities in this material world.
Hmm. It's a very nice analogy. So the scorpion lays its eggs in the rice. So eventually after some time, from the rice, scorpion comes out. And people will think, oh, rice produced the scorpion. So because they don't know the cause behind that one, right? So like that, as we are being born from, like, you know, mother and father produce a child, we think the bodies are creating another body. It's like that. That's understanding. But actually, the seed is sown by the father. You know, the sperm. Sperm carries a living entity which goes into mother's womb, and then the body is formed. You know, so that's the seed. And same similarly, seed Krishna gives that seed of living entities into material nature, impregnates the material nature, and then eventually they take different forms. That's what mother is doing. Mother is giving the form to the soul, right? Is giving specific form by raising it in her womb. Like that, mother nature also gives different forms of the living entity, different bodies based on their desires. So it's very clear, you know. So Krishna is very clear. Krishna is the source of all living entities. Next verse he tells even more clearer. So we'll read this. Sarvayonishu Kaunteya Murtaya Sambhavantiya Tasham Brahma Mahatyonir Aham Bija Pradapita. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. So he's saying it's very clear again, same point. They are made possible by birth because of the material nature. They are being born here, but actually he is the original father. Seed, aham bija pradapita. I am the seed-giving father. We'll read this short purport.
In this verse, it's clearly explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the original father of all living entities. The living entities are combinations of the material nature and the spiritual nature. Such living entities are seen not only on this planet, but on every planet, even on the highest where Brahma is situated. Everywhere there are living entities. Within the earth there are living entities, even within water and within fire. All these appearances are due to the mother, material nature, or Krishna's seed-giving process. The purport is that the material world is impregnated with living entities who come out in various forms at the time of creation according to their past deeds.
So all the appearances are due to the mother, material nature, and Krishna's seed-giving process. That's the crux of the whole creation. And this point that there are living entities everywhere, right? Living entities in the earth, there is fire, water, you know, there is speculation. They feel like, you know, Mars, there is no living entities. There's some, all these topics. But actually, we discussed in second chapter, right? Living entities, soul is described as sarvada. Sarvada means existing everywhere. Doesn't mean one soul is existing everywhere, but in every place there can be a soul. Like in fire, there is a living entity of that particular body which can exist in fire. Like, you know, sun planet, there are living entities like that. So that way, everywhere there are particular types, different types of living entities which we don't even know from science point of view actually. Okay, so text number 5 onwards, Krishna is now discussing the material modes, how they are affecting the living entities, how is there entangling the living entity. Sattvam rajastama iti guna prakriti sambhava nibadnanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. Material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these modes. So that's how it works. So basically the moment he falls from the spiritual world, he gets immediately covered up by the modes of material nature. And he becomes conditioned. So that means he is forced to act how the modes make them act. Gunas. You can read the purport.
The living entity, because he is transcendental, has nothing to do with this material nature. Still, because he has become conditioned with the material world, he is acting under the spell of the three modes of material nature. Because living entities have different kinds of bodies in terms of the different aspects of nature, they are induced to act according to that nature. This is the cause of the varieties of happiness and distress.
Yeah, so this is talking about conditioned nature. So some examples of how we are conditioned is that, like, you know, based on the body, we act like that. For example, a soul in a hawk's body has to make sound like a hawk, has to eat what hawk has to eat. If you give it nice halwa, it will reject. But if you ask him to go into some dumpster and eat some garbage, it will eat. So that's how it is conditioned. It's forced to behave according to the how material nature forces him. Similarly, one incident is there, right? How Indra, for one time, he became a hawk. Right? Who wants to tell that story? Paraphrase. Do you know, Prabhu?
Yeah. So once, due to some misdeed, Indra became a hog or a pig, and he was living with the family, like, you know, he had many hog wives, hog children. He was eating stool and he was really happy, and at least he was enjoying that. And then, you know, as his karma got over, Brahma came back and said, come on, you're Indra, you have to go back. And he said, no, why? This is better. I'm happy here.
This is heaven.
So this is heaven, I don't need it. So that's how people get accustomed to that.
Then actually Brahma comes, he kills his wife and he kills his children, then he realizes, then his all attachment is cut, then he's over, I cannot stay here, so he goes, everything is gone anyway. So yeah, so that's how much we are, and conditioned actually. So similarly we see in day to day life, right? Women generally have, that's why somebody wrote this book, men are from Venus, women are from Mars. Yeah, so we can say generally, you know, based on the composition of a particular body, females have certain traits, characteristics. Men also have certain. The typical thing is like, you know, women just want to share and somebody has to just listen, and men always want to give solution to that whatever they hear. So then there'll be a problem, you know. She says, you know, just listen, why are you telling me solution, I don't want solution. He says, you know, I cannot just listen, I have to give a solution. So you can see, you know, the characteristics typical every wife and husband experiences. You have something you can share, Prabhu, you want?
No, I was just hearing a lecture. So you, some sannyasi, I don't know where he was, but he was saying that this is a problem. So a husband comes back from a place, the wife asks, what happened? Was the job a success or failure? Yeah, it went okay. Done, end of conversation, because she asked a question that was responded with, yeah, it went okay. That means the problem is done. But now she's wondering, like, what is going on?
Details.
Like, what are the details? What details? There are no details. You asked whether it went well, it went okay. No. If the same thing, if the wife is asked, she will start with, I got into the bus, but you know, the driver came late. After 2 minutes, the husband's concentration has gone somewhere else. She's still continuing the story. And now there is, this is like process oriented and this is result oriented. Both are trying to interact, there are going to be problems. So the best way is to enjoy that and then look at the manufacturer and say, what have you done? Rather than, you know, look at the product and say, what is going on?
Yeah. Okay. So can you share some of your, if you ever had realizations of how you were conditioned to act in such a way, like, you know, some strong natures, like, you know, even though you try to avoid to act in that way, somehow, you know, you end up, you're forced basically, like how we feel ourselves being forced by modes of material nature.
So I wanted to
bring out that point, so we can, like, you know, what to say, digest it better. We can understand we are not independent, actually every minute we are being forced. So some things you can reflect and share. You share something.
Every day my whole life is like that only. Yes. So they initiated devotees' names, right? So for me, they'll give Godas because I'm a slave to my senses. That's all. There's nothing more.
Yeah, so even if we try to control a particular desire, like, you know, not eating or something, we are forced to act. Any other subtle things or something you want to share?
I'll be thinking, okay, go to store or somewhere, wherever you have to go, temple, wherever you have to go. You'll go at 11 o'clock or something, you'll be thinking. And then somehow at 11 o'clock you're not able to go. But you'll go at 12 o'clock and you'll meet someone there you haven't even met for many years or something like that. And then you feel like, okay, I planned everything 11 o'clock and this is supposed to happen like this. Everything is supposed to happen the way it's supposed to happen. There's nothing in your hands. Everything, you just stay in that moment and everything unfold by itself. Because I want to go at 11 o'clock, I'm like, okay, I have to go at 11 o'clock, and you are in a hurry, finish everything. But then there's nothing wrong. If it goes at 10 o'clock, but at that time you feel, oh my God, it's like my whole plan is kind of, I had this plan, I'll be home by 12 o'clock, and it's like, you know, all this thing. And if Everything now, I feel now, because I'm a very, like a perfectionist, like, has to be done like this. I was like, oh, now I'm not making my grocery list now. I'm like, okay, I'll go there and get whatever comes to my mind and come and manage with what is there. It kind of, most of the time, it takes time to.
Get over our conditioned nature. First thing is to detect what is that nature. That's a very good thing. After that, we know we can, how to work around it or how to get some counseling or whatever. For other one person, anger is a problem. He cannot control his anger. You know, small things. Not you, somebody. So you also, I know, but yeah, you already shared examples. So you somewhere there. So it's like that, you know. So it's, he just gets tricked, and that's all. You know, gets into that mode of anger, and then shouting and all those things, and cannot get back at all. And this may be just conditioned because of hereditary nature from the parents and things like that. So, no, we have to, only way if in all these cases, anybody, you want to share anything, both of you?
My problem is anger.
Anger.
I
gave reference that she's very calm and patient. You know, I never saw anyone with other kids, not with your own kids.
No. With my own kid.
No, with other kids, they're patient, that's what I'm saying.
I listen about all the lectures, but when the anger comes, in nothing in my mind. The topic won't get into my mind. I can't control my anger.
Mm.
Several times I'm trying still.
You have to practice. Yeah,
practice. Mm. Itself.
Mm. What about you, Madhuri? Same
thing, but when I'm supposed to shout, I'm just waiting for little time. Like,
oh, just
to
okay.
Calm myself.
Uh-huh.
But the surroundings are making me shout. After a few minutes, I'm shouting.
Okay, just so little
right
improvement
now,
is there.
Right now, I thought of making my kids sleep by 7:30 and then come here. I was planning from 7 to 7:30, I was with them. I put aside all my works and I was sitting with them and listening to a story or telling some story. But they didn't sleep. At 7:28, I shouted at them. Everything happens like this. I kept my work aside and I was sitting with you and half an hour went away and you are not sleeping and your dad is not here. I have to go to the class and everything I shouted, and then Tarungi and Chibi were saying, okay, Amma, you go, we will sleep. I shouted, everything was done. I patiently waited and everything is done, and now I don't know. Chinmay is sleeping but Tarungi is not sleeping. I came here. That's why I went and I checked.
Oh, she's,
that's what happens. I wanted to work out with what I listen, and I, but at the end I will shout. I don't know how they are bearing with the kids.
Yeah.
So, Mataji, how to overcome
this? That's what the point I was trying to lead to now. So then,
Realization is, even though we speak in that anger mood, but after that there are side effects definitely there. But whoever was listening, that will be stayed in the that kid mind for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It will not go away. But for us, like for me, like if the time is passed, let's say class is done, after that I will totally forget whatever I shouted.
Yeah, but for kids have a lot of impact. Actually,
their,
conscious,
practice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
actually, I was told, I was instructed, because between both of us, I'm the one like this, because of, I don't know, I'm just blaming my father, but that's how I was raised in my childhood. It's always in the home, there is no small pitch talk, actually, it's always shouting only. So that's the environment I was raised, and of course after married I completely forgot, because he was very calm, right? The only thing I realized is when I go to India again and stay in their home, then I realized, oh, this is where I brought up, and now I cannot handle, actually. I cannot stay even 1 minute there. So anyway, so the conditioning is there in me. So now when something happens with kids, or actually main time is when I feel something, they are going to puke, because I know they know when they cry a lot and they're very sleepy, they cry, they puke. So I feel very anxious about that. That's my rationale, that, you know, I want to act and do something to stop. So I raise my voice to, okay, to handle him, you know, take him to water, like that I tell. But he feels, you know, I'm shouting or whatever. So anyway, whatever it is, so I got instruction that Mukundatha Prabhu, he came, you know, whatever you do to them, that's what they will do to you, and that's what they will do to others. Very clearly too. There is no other way. That's how it's going to happen. However you treat them, that's how they will treat you, that's how they will treat others. If you want your son to treat other people like that in future, that's how you behave with him. He told, like, very clearly too. It's a blatant truth.
But Mataji, how we should...
Okay, so now what solution?
Like the same situation, Mataji, like I have also been many times today as well. I got late because of things. But still, like, what is the solution? How we should act? Like, shall we just accept, okay, late is late, it's okay, but how, just get the things done even though it's late? Like, that's the only way to keep ourselves calm down, right? In the... If, let's say, for example, you are getting late.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Because in certain situations, many things are not really in our hand. We should understand that. As Mataji said, we make our plans, but something else happens. Especially with families, it always happens like that. no, we cannot force the kids. If the kid slept after nicely or really woke up so much late, you cannot force the kid to sleep so early, right? You know, we can also not go to sleep like that. We'll just roll around so much, but we'll not sleep, and we'll feel, okay, instead of this, let me do something, right? So same thing for them. But we feel we can impose on them easily, but not on, instead of on ourselves. So that's the problem. So yeah, we should accept this practically, you know, this is the matter, you know, things are not in my control. Okay, I make a plan, always, once I think Rompad Maharaj told, I was also like this very much initially, and after kids, I think I became a little bit more flexible. I was like very rigid, especially after taking devotional service, very meticulous and this thing, perfectionist. So I used to, after coming to devotional service, I had a very nice plan. Any so much like that Govind Charan Prabhu used to tell, anytime look at the clock, you can tell what Shyamala is doing now. That's how much it, the time like that, you know, it's going on like that. So that's a comment. I don't know if it's compliment or this thing. Later he gave feedback that, you know, you should learn how to be flexible also. That's what I worked on later on. Now I understand. With kids, if it, you are so rigid, nothing will work. You say, you know, you have to eat this time, you have to eat this much, you have to sleep this time, you have to sleep this much. How will it work? So, yeah, just accept the circumstances we are in and whatever, and then just have some plan. It cannot be completely random. No, otherwise, initially when we had a regulated schedule, both Matajis were asking, no, how can you have, you know, this time slot and this time you feed the kids, you know, we never did like this to our kids, they were telling. But for me, there is no other choice. Two kids raising up so same time, I should have a pattern. Otherwise, one sleep 1 hour and other, I will manage other guy and this guy will sleep, then I will not have any free time to do anything, right? So anyway, luckily it worked out. So there is some routine. I was telling about Rompad Maharaj example. So when I was rigid like that, what happened, once we had hosted Rompad Maharaj morning program in our home. So I used to have a habit of chanting all my round before going to work. So that day is a work day, and on top of it, we are cooking for people who come here, right? Like after class, morning prasadam we have to serve. So we both were cooking. On top of it, I was sitting and attending the class, and in my mind, it's going, I'm not chanting. Because my routine is gone. So I'm feeling very restless. We take security in that routine. And she can relate, I think, very much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let me complete this, yeah. So then, so at the end of the class, when Maharaj was very kind that time, like where, you know, he used to eat prasadam in the people's home and used to be open for discussion. So I went and I told very clearly, Maharaj, you know, it's very nice that you have come, we have hosted everything, but my mind is very restless. I'm feeling, you know, why I didn't chant or something like that. Then he said, you should always have a plan A. And in certain situations, when you know that it's going to be different, you should have a plan B. Okay, in these cases, I'm going to chant this time. So your mind will be peaceful. Okay, let's focus on what is the current program. I enjoy, you know, I went to serve Maharaj and devotees. That's what I'm doing. I'm very fortunate to have this opportunity. And okay, chanting time is going to come later on. It's okay. So have that plans and have and be accepting in both cases. That's one way, you know. Yeah. Yeah, initially, two plans, yeah. Okay, the initial plan is, okay, 7:30 they are going to sleep. We should also have, if they don't sleep, what is the, you know, whether, you know, should I leave them in somebody's home or should we counsel from before only, you know, saying, you know, you're going to stay alone or I'll bring them here, be quiet, whatever. Then you can nicely handle properly. Yeah.
When they said, calmly, like, okay, I'm going to go away. I felt so bad that, oh, I
shouted and they are accepting, because I'm shouting, they are accepting that, okay, let her go. I feel
very bad, but I can't take my words back.
Yeah. That's okay. The worst thing, see, because the kids are so nice. At least I yell quite a lot, and then if we know that I'm wrong, I'll go and say sorry to either kids.
Yeah, you should definitely tell sorry. That's good. They will learn that.
Whoever it is, if I made a mistake, I'll go and say sorry. And then he'll say, yeah, it's okay. Then I'll say, don't do like I did. I can only get away with it because you're my son. You try this out. It will backfire spectacularly because I know what he's thinking. So I'll say, it will spectacularly backfire, I said. And you take me because that you're very nice and you're kind.
Not everybody are nice.
Not everybody is like that, and not everybody is a father and son. Or I tell them that also because I know I do that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, education. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always, my husband also says, no, Narasimha, he's a little bit strong voiced. So whenever he cannot, my husband cannot handle. From his upbringing is very much calm. If you see his mother also is very calm, composed. He does very slow, nicely, patiently. And I feel restless. You know why she is doing so slow, and I'll be jumping. So that's the, you can imagine, you know, that's how he got the nature. And when he sees me raising voice, he cannot handle at all. And now Narasimha sometimes, you know, when he's very sleepy, he cannot handle, he keeps raising his voice. Then he says, you know, see exactly, he's getting exactly what your nature, you know, so don't spoil him, like that he says. So what to do? Yeah, so the thing is, solution is, okay, practically we can do like this, plans and all those things. Other ultimate solution for us is when we take shelter of devotional service sincerely, then all these anarthas, anger is one of the anarthas, right? So that will all go away eventually. No, this may take long time, very long time, but we should work at it, and at least, you know, minimally we can do is repentance. You know, I should not have acted like this, know what's the right behavior. And maybe, you know, in that case you hear something about anger management or anger classes about anger, something, you know, but that specific anartha. So that will go deep into the heart, and it will cleanse some dirt at that particular time. And always, you know, apologize, even if it's a small child, whatever, you know, tell sorry. Then they understand, you know, this is a very nice point. Actually, Aruddha Mataji was doing homeschooling, right? This point, it struck me. One Mataji, you know, she used to have conferences, and people were sharing different things about, you know, their life, and, you know, whether it's appropriate for them to do homeschooling. So one Mataji told that me and my husband, we often have fights, but if we really feel we want to give Krishna consciousness to our children, so we want to do homeschooling, is it really good option for her? Because rather she goes to school, she doesn't see us fighting, so then at least she feels there is a blissful environment at home. You know, otherwise, am I doing more harm by keeping her home and exposure to all our petty fights all the time? You know, am I doing harm like that? That's a very valid question, and the answer she gave is like very fantastic. She told, no, definitely, because she's very much advocate of, she knows what's the benefits of homeschooling. So, and she raised her own children to be, you know, Oxford graduates and well-settled grihasthas and initiated devotees, everything. So she was successful. So she has the conviction by Krishna's mercy. So she passes on that conviction every dialogue she has. So she told, no, homeschooling is always best opportunity for the child for Krishna consciousness. And actually in this situation, by seeing how you both have fights and how you make up in order to keep the relationship, that's a realistic view of life your daughter is going to have. Instead of having an illusion like, you know, oh, marriage life is rosy, it's all going to be, you know, soft beds and cushions and kisses and hugs. No, instead of having that illusion, she knows that is there. But always also there will be differences, and parents are mature enough to work it out. That's what is real life. So that's the vision you are going to give to your child. That's what she told, you know. So that's the point. You know, like we accept where we are, what our situation is, and we move forward from there and take shelter of Krishna and make progress. Okay, text number 6. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukha sangena badnati jnana sangena chanaga. Oh, sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating, and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by the sense of happiness and knowledge. Okay, these three verses are, Krishna is going to talk how different modes are entangling, or rather binding, the soul. This verse is talking about mode of goodness. So first of all, guna, right? These are three gunas. Gunas is the modes. The guna also means rope. So if we remember that picture, right? Soul is standing and the three women in the top are pulling with the ropes, three ropes. The three modes. Yeah, basically three modes are pulling the soul in different directions. And we are just acting according to that pulls. So we are just conditioned to act. So even mode of goodness, there are conditionings. The conditioning of mode of goodness is sense of happiness and knowledge. So this is also not good enough actually. We may feel, okay, we'll talk about that point. Okay, so let's read. Okay, let's read the first paragraph, few lines. A man in mode of goodness is not so much.
And he has a sense of advancement in material knowledge. The representative type is the Brahmana, who is supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness. This sense of happiness is due to understanding that in the mode of goodness, one is more or less free from sinful reactions. Actually, in the Vedic literature, it is said that the mode of goodness means greater knowledge and a greater sense of happiness.
Yeah. So why he feels happiness? Mainly because in mode of goodness, they are more or less very much free from sinful reactions. So they don't can commit any sinful activities also, and previous sinful reactions are nullified. So there is sense of happiness. And there is lot of knowledge. They have lot of knowledge. And other thing is mode of goodness. Or brahmanas cannot handle two things. They cannot handle things which are unclean or places which are unclean, and they cannot go to a place where there is no water. Because always they need water to clean, right? Like Achaman or anything. Like if you put a Brahmana in a desert, then he's gone. That's the point basically. They want everything to be clean. That also means when they see ignorance in people's hearts, they cannot handle. So they give knowledge in order to remove that ignorance. It's cleaning their heart basically. That's a Brahmana. He wants to speak transcendental knowledge. So then, next continuing further, difficulty here is that when a living entity, the problem, now Prabhupada is going to talk about the problem of mode of goodness.
He becomes conditioned to feel that he is advanced in knowledge and is better than others. In this way, he becomes conditioned.
Yeah, so that's his problem. The Brahmana feels he is better than others, and he is become conditioned by the pride actually. He becomes proud. So that's also is not transcendental. He is also in the material realm actually. Continuing further,
As such, they are attracted towards working in the mode of goodness, and as long as they have an attraction for working in that way, they have to take some type of body in the mode of nature.
Modes of material nature. So Prabhupada is giving example about scientists and philosophers. There are also so much knowledge, and there is so much sense of happiness, and they keep improving the living conditions, that's all. But still, that's how they are going to work. They are going to keep improving and keep taking bodies again. But they can never be transcendental. One incident in our shastras related to this is that Narada Muni, we know that, right? When as a son of maidservant, he serves the Bhaktivedantas or the sadhus, and he eats the remnants from there with their permission, and immediately he gets attracted to the transcendental process. And then eventually by providence, his mother passes away. The mother was the only connection and shelter for him. The only mother gets passed away because of snake bite. And then he didn't have any other course. So because of the transcendental knowledge, he acts on it and he just leaves home. He starts wandering everywhere. He goes to cities. Lot of description is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he goes to forest, everything. And then finally, he sits and meditates. He meets, of course, Narada Muni only, right? Yeah. He sits and meditates based on how the Bhaktivedantas gave the mantras, the initiation. And he sees Lord comes actually in front of him and gives his darshan. Then immediately he feels ecstatic symptoms and he faltering everything and just he shares some prayers. And after that, Lord disappears. Then he becomes very flustered. No, okay, it's like, you know, the dearmost object of his heart is in front of him and now it's lost. So he tries so much to focus on meditation like this again, but it doesn't come now anymore. Then the voice comes saying, I just gave my appearance just so that your hankering for me increases more. But you are not yet ready to see me completely. That's the point. Krishna says, the Lord Vishnu, or they say, so I just came and gave you a glance so that you know what it is, you're going to get it, and so you can keep hankering and come more with that hankering, you get more purified and come to me. But actually, you're not ready yet. So, then in the purport, and maybe Acharyas have mentioned, you know, what is the contamination Narada Muni had? He's actually completely, you know, he's like a sannyasi, he's roaming everywhere, he didn't have any followers, it's not about money, nothing. So, what is the contamination he had is he has some attachment to the mode of goodness in the village life, or rather, you know, in the forest. He had that attachment, like, you know, the calm and serene life of forests. So that was his contamination, because of which he couldn't perfect his, you know, he couldn't completely complete his perfection, the devotion life. So that was the point, you know, even that mode of goodness is not good enough eventually. But for us, we are actually struggling in the mode of passion, ignorance. We have to aim to come to at least a mode of goodness, because that way we will be illuminated, we will have clear. See, mode of goodness people, they know clearly what to do, what not to do. There is no confusion. It's very clear. and in the mode of ignorance completely opposite. They think what to be done as what not to be done, reverse. They think religion to be religion, later Krishna says in 17th chapter. Mode of ignorance, they think religion to be religion, they think religion to be religion. Completely opposite definitions. Right? So these people, they do Brahmanical mode of goodness, they clear understanding and conditioned by happiness and knowledge. Okay, so continuing for the two verses. Rajo Rajatmakam Vidhi Trishna Sangasamudbhavam Tannibadnati Kaunteya Karma Sangena Dehinam. The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings, O son of Kunti, and because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive actions. So this is most of us actually. Born of unlimited desires and longings. They're continuously, there are so many desires. I want this, I want this, I want this. And longings, hankering. And because of this, in order to fulfill his desires, he is just entangling himself in fruitive actions. Earning money, working hard, getting the money and enjoying it. That's what it's doing. So then Prabhupada talks about typical materialistic householder. So we'll read few lines. A mode of passion is characterized. Krishna. Read, somebody can read. So. First, it's first line.
The mode of passion is characterized by attraction between man and woman. Woman is attraction for man and man is attraction for woman. This is called the mode of passion. And when the mode of passion is increased, one develops the hankering for material enjoyment. He wants to enjoy sense gratification. For sense gratification, a man in the mode of passion wants some honor in society or in the nation, and he wants to have a happy family with nice children, wife and house. These are the products of the mode of passion. As long as one is hankering after these things, he has to
move very hard. Yeah. That's the whole cycle actually, no? One gets married, that's all. Marriage means children, children means house. See, marriage means house, after the children, then their education, their everything, and the grandchildren, the whole thing. We discussed two stories related to this, right? The snake, where Narada Muni comes, or the person, he tells, you know, okay, you take self-realization, now you're married, duties are done. He said, no, I have to get my children married, then he waits, and the grandchildren, everything, finally becomes snake. Then he, Narada Muni makes him beg, the family members beat him. Then he realizes, I cannot stay. Then he takes devotional service. Like that. Other incident is that, what is the other incident I was thinking? Yeah, I missed that. Okay, if I remember, we'll talk about it. Okay, text number 8. Then we talk about the mode of ignorance now. Tamastva agnana jambiti mohanam sarvadehinam pramadalasya nidrabi stan nibadnati bharata. O son of Bharata, know that the mode of ignorance, born of mode of darkness, born of ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. So madness, indolence means like drinking, all those things, and sleep, lot of sleep. This is the binding of mode of ignorance. Yep, we can read first few lines. In this verse,
the specific application of the word to is very significant. This means that the mode of ignorance is a very peculiar qualification of the embodied soul. The mode of ignorance is just the opposite of the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, by development of knowledge, one can understand what is what. But the mode of ignorance is just the opposite. Everyone under the spell of the mode of ignorance becomes mad, and madman cannot understand what is what.
Further down, for example.
For example, everyone can see that his grandfather has died and therefore he will also die. Man is mortal. The children that he conceives will also die. So death is sure. Still, people are madly accumulating money and working very hard all day and night, not caring for the eternal spirit. This is madness. In their madness, they are very reluctant to make advancement in spiritual understanding. Such people are very lazy. When they are invited to associate for spiritual understanding, they are not much interested. They are not even active like the man who is controlled by the mode of passion.
Thus, another symptom of one embedded in the mode of ignorance is that he sleeps more than is required. 6 hours of sleep is sufficient, but a man in mode of ignorance sleeps at least 10 or 12 hours a day. Such a man appears to be always dejected and is addicted to intoxicants and sleeping. These are the symptoms of a person conditioned by the mode of ignorance.
So the other story I remembered about this is like that one Sadhuji, right? He has one kopin and he dries it and puts it, and somebody suggested, you know, one means if something happens, what will you do? You have one more. Yeah, one more, then some rat comes and eats, right? Then he says, you know, rat is coming and eating, you know, why don't you have a cat to save your kopin? You know, then he will have a cat. Then to take care of the cat, has to drink milk, so he has a cow. The cow will give milk. After to take care of the cow, he marries, he gets a wife. Wife needs a house. So then he stops his saying all this sadhu business and he adds another business. Then he has children, everything. Then he felt, oh, all this I ended up just to save one kopan. I would rather stop all this and do my bhajan and, you know, stay with one. So it's like that, you know, it becomes so complicated. But that's our, you know, that's our life, you know, we are living it now. We don't have a choice. That's why Prabhupada says actually every woman should be married, but every man should remain a brahmachari. How is it possible, tell me? How is it possible? Every woman should get married, Prabhupada said. And he said every man should remain a brahmachari. There is a way you can do it both. Yeah, after marriage, you remain brahmachari. Basically, you know, like basically take up devotional service seriously and you become... focus on Krishna, and woman is also married. That's how it works. The women don't have a choice, they have to get married, but in that marriage you can be transcendental. It's probably your answer. Yeah. So here we are talking about ignorance, you know, very lazy, you know, they want to sleep more. Prabhupada said this point that he's not even active like a man. At least man in the mode of passion is working hard, doing something actively. But this guy is just sleeping, guy or girl. They're sleeping all the time, wasting the energy, you know, the energy. Foolish, they say something, right? Foolishly busy or busy fools. Busy fools versus lazy fools. It's like that. Lazy fools are more dangerous than busy fools. Yeah. Okay. So we know at least briefly, you know, what are the primary characteristics of each of the modes, so we can easily identify different parts of the day, times of the day, where we are more, especially the moment we get up from sleep, if we want to sleep more, we can see, you know, ignorance. So that's why Anmat Preksha Maharaj said he puts alarm in different room. So he has to get up, walk and switch it off. By the time he wakes up, then he cannot go to sleep. So yeah, so... And many people try, you know, phones, different people giving phone call. Rasika Matsuji, right? Even alarm she keeps, she cannot get up. The only way she gets up is if she gets a phone call. She's tuned to getting up immediately when she gets a phone call. Because sometimes Maharaj has to call at random times, she gets up, right? If you get a phone call, she'll get up. But if you do anything, if you shout in front of her, anything also, she doesn't get up. So that's... But she, for the service, she gets up. So it's like, yeah. Anything else anybody wants to share at this point? Yeah, further this chapter will be very interesting, how everything can be divided into different modes. So we'll see. You like this chapter? It's down to us, right? It's about us. Okay, any questions or comments?
Here he said 6 hours sleep is sufficient. But kids will sleep, right? But
yeah.
What age onwards we should develop that quality? 6 hours means.
Yeah, we know, right? There is medically also they say something, right? Do certain age kids have to need 10 hours, 12 hours, right? I don't know what it is. Certain age they need. After that, they say it's normal sleep, right? 8 hours or something.
After
5th
grade.
After 5th
grade. Recently, you mentioned in pediatric association, in middle school, they want more sleep. 8 to 12 hours sleep. Because of that, they are trying to change the timings.
Oh.
School time.
Correct.
Yeah.
So when we are saying the time is changing to 7:30 start.
So they have to sleep more at middle school?
That's what they...
10 to 12 hours? So much?
I think it's a growth spurt.
For high school,
so
they are changing the time.
They are not changed, but their discussions will
be. Shekhar district school, they are pulling the next year time for the primary, elementary schools. They are pulling 1 hour. They are saying you have to
they
come early.
They didn't decide
at Prabhu. Oh, why? Early is better means they don't need that much sleep.
I don't know.
They still need more sleep. It's just that you go to sleep early.
They are pulling 1 hour in the morning. They have to come early to school. Elementary kids.
1 hour extra in the school or
no,
just
no,
earlier?
They are
early.
Going 9 o'clock, right? They will go at 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
These guys are going at 7 o'clock. They are changing into 8:30.
Yeah.
Mm.
But they didn't decide it actually.
I think Ishaku has finalized it in the school district.
Uh-huh.
For elementary.
Elementary schools.
Uh-huh. Only people who are not worried is Prabhu Mataji and Ishaku.
It's like we are past that age.
It's like, what is all this?
they will learn soon.
Why worry so much? Some number of hours they will sleep, it's okay. So,
my parents never thought about that.
Overanalyzing. Oh?
No. Mm. We are used to this sleep, right, Mataji? So nowadays I'm planning to get up early, but I'm so conditioned. I need 8 hours sleep at least. We are planned for 6 hours sleep, but it's
yeah. Actually, once I heard from Gauranga Prabhu, he said any habit you have to change, it may take 5 years.
Mm.
You have to do little. You cannot do one shot, 1 hour. Do 10 minutes. Do 10 minutes. Do it for 2 weeks, 1 month. 10 minutes early, and then you will get used to it. Then you do add another 10 minutes. So it may take 5 years to get the habit changed. It's not overnight. And we do 1 to 2 days and after that we say, oh, I'm conditioned, I'm not going. So we have to be very, because that's how the body is, material nature, that's what it means. It just acts mechanically, it acts. So you have to be intelligent and change it. It's possible. I also used to sleep 8 hours. Now it's little less. Okay, let's stop. Yeah, all good, Shri Prabhupada.